Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Happy weekend. Welcome to another Focus on Community. How you doing? I'm Frank Rush. Glad to have you along this weekend. And of course, if you miss any part of today's show or you go, wait a minute, what did they say? You can always check out the podcast of this program on our website. It'll be there for you to go back and listen to all you want. Our guest this week is somebody who's been on the program several times before. Tammy Silverman from IYI, the Indiana Youth Institute, joins us today. Tammy, how you doing?
I'm fantastic. Happy to be with you again, Frank.
Indiana Youth Institute, a great service that is provided for kids, parents, anybody that has anything to do with kids. And just to kind of refresh folks a little bit, you guys are a non-for-profit funded by some of the bigger corporate donors and other people around the state because of all the work that you do with kids, right?
You bet. And really our goal is, like you said, anybody that works with kids. So whether that's schools, after-school programs, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, YMCAs, our goal is to help them deliver their missions for kids, right? So that we can all increase the well-being of Hoosier kids.
And if folks ever have any questions or they're looking for more information, you've got a website that's just packed full of stuff. It's not hard to navigate, but there's so much information there. You could probably hang out for, I don't know, a week or two and read lots of stuff.
Yeah. We'd be happy to have you do that. It's IYI.org, so it's really straightforward, IYI.org.
So, Tammy, this week we wanted to talk about mental health and kids, and fill us in a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of things that this could kind of cover. So what are we going to focus on?
There is. Well, first and foremost, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And so, obviously, with IYI's mission being kid-centric, we wanted to make sure that we were highlighting how mental health disorders and illnesses show up in kids. And there was a new study out, just came out in February, that says one in every six American children have at least one mental health disorder. And so I think for some of us, that was a pretty big number and something that we wanted to pay attention to.
Now, let me ask you, how do we quantify or qualify a mental health disorder in a child? Because some folks may just say, oh, they just don't behave, or they're a little rambunctious, right? Or, I mean, because it seems like, and this is something that I know you and I have talked about on and off air before, do we really have an increase in mental health problems with kids, or is it we finally know what to call it and are now calling it that and actually quantifying it as that, whereas before it was just, the kid was a little rambunctious. Now we actually say it's mental health. So, I mean, are we really getting worse, or do we just know what to call it now?
Well, that's the perfect question, Frank, because it's really both, right? Like, there is a little bit of increase, particularly in anxiety and depression amongst our kids. So we need to pay attention to that. And that anxiety, I think we've talked about, that pressure for kids to be great at everything, right? They need to be the perfect athlete. They need to be a great student. They need to, what's wrong with, with being good at all those things without having to really always have the pressure of more and more and more and more for our kids. So there is an increase in some of that anxiety and depression. And you're absolutely right. We've also gotten a lot better at diagnosing and understanding the whole scope of mental illness. So we can track it better, and we can, come up with those numbers better than we used to be able to.
You know, what you just said there was perfect. There's a lot of places we can kind of jump off from what you just said. So let's talk about one of those things. You mentioned, the kids want to be great at everything, but they also have to be graded at everything, too. It's like we have to evaluate everything we do. And that in and of itself is probably one of the bigger problems we face out there, right?
Well, it's stressful, for sure. It's stressful for kids. It's stressful for adults who are living with those kids, and all of that stress and pressure. Sometimes it's just okay to have fun, right? It's okay to shoot hoops and not keep score. It's okay to learn something new in school and not have to strive to get 100 on it, or 90 or an A or whatever that is. And so we are seeing more anxiety showing up in our kids, and we need to address it, because otherwise it can have long-term consequences.
One of the things, too, you mentioned social media, and that is putting a lot of pressure on kids nowadays, too. But the one thing the kids need to realize, and I think most of us adults have figured out, social media is just a bunch of liars.
I think sometimes, you know, as adults, we need to tell kids what, you know, we need to make sure that we're providing them with a realistic perspective of social media, right? People only post on there wonderful things. It looks like their friends are always with other people doing fun things. And if, you know, and if their life isn't that way, that can put a lot of pressure on them. As adults, we need to be telling them that, you know, that's not day in, day out reality. People don't post on their bad days. They don't post on there the times that they don't make the team they wanted to. And that can, you know, how we frame it, how we talk to kids about it is really critical. And the other point is, as adults, we can say, you know what, this is stressing us out. Let's just stay off of it, right? Let's turn it off for a while. Let's step away from it.
You know, you mentioned too the stress. Okay, there's the stress that comes from social media and the, I don't know, I guess the self-involved stress. But how much, and this is probably a question that doesn't really have an answer, but how much of it is could just be our genetic makeup, our medical makeup? Yep. Because maybe we're just naturally more inclined now to be more keyed in and be more I don't know, maybe not stress resistant, but stress susceptible, as opposed to our grandparents were 50 to 100 years ago.
Well, and we live in a really fast-paced world, right? It's a lot different than what it was back then, and you're absolutely right. One of the things that's, you know, I think important for Mental Health Awareness Month for kids is that it's just as you said, these are physiological issues that are going on. This isn't something that is, you know, that my kid's just going through a stage or they're just feeling blue, that kind of a thing. It is a change in their chemical makeup in their brain, right? And so because it is, there's a physical component to it that has to do with their mental well-being. That's why it needs such, you know, that's why it needs intervention. That's why it needs attention paid to it. Unfortunately, mental health illnesses aren't as easy to diagnose as if your kid twists their ankle on the basketball court, right? That's pretty easy to see. It's pretty easy to see that they're in pain. It's pretty easy for you to understand you need to do something about it. Unfortunately, many times it's not quite that easy to understand how and when to intervene with your kids.
So with all that said, we sit back now and actually, when do you intervene? A matter of, oh, just shake it off or walk it off?
Right. You know? You're just having a bad day. Yeah. Everyone has a bad day, right?
Or oh my God, come here. You know,
right,
let's try
exactly.
to make this
we
better.
We need to talk to somebody that has training and credentials in this area. Yep. And I think that's, you know, that's the difference. And it's really tough. It can be really tough with mental illness. And so what they say is the symptoms are different for little kids and teenagers. So for little kids, the symptoms are things such as intense worry or fear, frequent tantrums, complaints about ongoing or frequent stomach aches or headaches that have no medical cause, and a lack of interest in playing with other kids. Now, when you hear all those things, you can probably think of a young child who could exhibit all of those things.
Sure.
Right? And however, the difference is if those things are persistent for several weeks on end, right? Like, you know, again, if you're just fed up with your friends and you don't want to play with them anymore for a day or two, no big deal. That happens, right? Somebody, you lost a game. Somebody, you know, was fussy on the school bus or whatever. No big deal. But if a child is not interested in hanging out with their friends again and again and again, then that can be a bigger issue. If they're worried, a lot of times kids get worried about something or they're afraid of something and they move on pretty quickly. If your child expresses that intense worry or fear for a sustained period of time, you need to pay a little more attention.
Well, and here's the other thing too, is that there have been some pretty horrific stories in the news about kids that have literally, maybe this isn't the politically correct way to put it, but they've gone off the deep end and they've done something just horrifically bad.
Yep.
And yet their parents, caregivers, whatever. So I didn't know. I mean, so, but you don't want to be one that's the helicopter parent that every time they bat their eye the wrong way, you're thinking, oh my God, we got to go to the mental health hospital. You know, picking that moment.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Because you also don't want to, you know, and again, as you talked about some of those some of those issues, particularly we've seen manifested in teenagers, you know, the symptoms for them is a loss of interest in previously enjoyable activities. So maybe your kid was a baseball player, now they want nothing to do with that or whatever that activity may be. Spending increasing amounts of time alone or avoiding social activities, sleeping too much or too little, and engaging in risky, destructive, or self-harming behaviors. Now, other than perhaps that last one, I'm the mom of two teenagers, and I can tell you that time alone, they don't want to hang out with my husband and I, right? Like, they don't want to argue.
Yeah, I know.
That's a normal behavior. But if they do that all the time, if they're avoiding their friends, if they're withdrawing from activities that they used to like, if they're, if those kinds of things over long periods of time, again, you do need to kind of be tuned into what are the patterns, not the helicopter every day monitoring my kid slept an extra hour this Saturday or whatever that is, but over time, is there a pattern of behavior? And if so, you need to be paying attention.
Yeah, and you're kind of used to that because your friends are kind of like that too. They just don't really want to hang around you, right?
Hey now, Frank.
I'm joking. But here, we can go off in several different directions with this. If your kid all of a sudden becomes rather quiet and they go off in a corner by themselves and stay there for a while, that could be because maybe they are having a problem with other friends at school who have rejected them or have done something that has caused them some kind of stress. And also, too, here's the other thing. We've talked about this on other shows, and I know you've got stuff posted on your website about this at IYI.org. But what, you know, if the kids have all of a sudden fallen into the wrong crowd, drug abuse and that kind of thing, I mean, those same symptoms can all be indicative of a couple of wildly different problems.
They can be. And again, that's why I think it's, you know, it really takes multiple adults paying attention. So again, this isn't something that is only the responsibility of the teachers, right? Because kids spend the most, the biggest amount of their time in school. So sometimes it's like, well, we've heard, well, the teacher didn't say anything. Well, it's not just the teacher's job, right? And at the same time, if you're the parent and you're seeing some things or you're paying attention and you see some things you're a little concerned about, you do need to reach out to that teacher, have a conversation, reach out to the coach, have a conversation. Maybe make sure, hook up, you know, a lot of times kids might say something, they might be more comfortable talking to their coach or their youth group leader or even grandma or grandpa more so than the parent. And as a parent, acknowledge that. That's normal too. Just make sure that they're talking to somebody or that you as a parent are stepping up and having some extra conversations. Again, this isn't something, when it is a mental health illness, it's not something that's going to go away on its own.
Now the next... go ahead.
Kind of hoping and wishing it well doesn't really pay off.
Sorry to cut you off there. One of the things I did want to touch on, though, is, okay, so you decide, all right, my child is acting a little strange, and maybe I think they might need some mental health help. Easy for me to say. With that said, though, in Terre Haute, our resources here are going to not be all that. Well, and it's not just Terre Haute. You know what? Because we talk about this, this is a nationwide problem. The mental health resources that we would like to have or would need to have to deal with problems like this aren't exactly plentiful. And even though those that provide those resources aren't trying to, they can be rather hidden. Now, IYI, based in Indianapolis, you guys have Riley Hospital for Children and all the resources they have and everything, but you've also got a population of 1.5 million people up there, and out of that, who knows how many are actual kids. I mean, everything's relative, so... You know, where do you go?
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, Frank, because we work all over the state, and unfortunately, when we look at how our state, how that ratio is in access and all those issues, right now, amongst our neighboring states, so often we look at Ohio, Kentucky, Illinois, Michigan, those folks, Indiana has the lowest ratio of mental health providers available. So right now, across the state, on average, it's one per every 700 people. And 60% of the state's population, so the majority for sure, live in an area that has been designated as a mental health professional shortage area. So you're absolutely right in that, and it's not only your part of the state, but many parts of the state have that same access issue. So we were just talking about this yesterday with the Department of Education. You know, they're trying to work, and I know there are other folks that are trying to increase that. In the meantime, they're trying to work to make sure that school personnel has some, they're not going to replace a mental health professional, but that they can help screen and identify. Your pediatrician is another good one. A lot of clergy have some training in this area. So again, thinking about how can we help, and then how do we keep having the conversations to say, gosh, we need more professionals here, right? Like, so, you know, really trying to keep the pressure on to make sure that access, I know we were, some one of the solutions that they were talking about is they've tested in a couple of schools working on telehealth so that you could do it, you know, video conference, right? So if there's not a mental health professional in your area, you could do it. And they said a lot of the adults were a little apprehensive. The kids are not. They're used to looking at screens, right? So yeah, that could be a viable option.
Yeah, and they might actually kind of like that kind of thing. I think probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, the main thing is at this point is trying to determine when it's just a fad for your kid or if it's something serious. And then don't, well, you can get discouraged, but don't give up. And the parents need to really take the bull by the horns. The old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Start squeaking when you really need help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% right. We couldn't agree more. That's perfectly said. Because again, you know, every parent knows their child best, right? So if you feel like something's off, even if you're not sure exactly what it is, be that squeaky wheel.
Yeah. And that's what will, that's what could mean the difference between disaster and a happy ending, quite honestly. So now you guys.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the biggest things is, you know, many times if kids, if they do get some of that intervention and support early on, these things, mental health illnesses can have great outcomes. They don't have to be, they don't have to have lifelong negative impacts. So it is really important to be that squeaky wheel and be persistent.
If things could only go back like they were when you and I were kids, because life was perfect back then, and. You know, it's just a whole lot better. So now, of course, we talk about mental health with kids, and I know you guys have, well, first of all, you've written a kind of a nice article about that, but you guys also have resources and other ideas and educational things about this on your website. And all I have to do is just go there and spend 15 minutes at least looking around and reading a little bit, and parents can get lots of help, right?
You bet. You bet. IYI.org, it's all there, free for the taking. You know, you can spend 2 minutes today and then you think about it and think, gosh, I want to dig a little deeper. It's out there and available for anyone that has questions.
Yeah, and if folks do have questions, they're not finding an answer there, can they call you guys, email you or something and say, hey, where do I go?
Email. It's probably the easiest way. And in fact, if there are follow-up questions, so a lot of what we do is make sure that if there's in-depth questions that are needed. So for example, you might ask, well, what's my school doing about mental health awareness? What are they doing about, they classify, you know, they might use different terms, and where do I go on DOE's website? We can help you navigate that as well, right? And point you in the right direction.
All right. IYI.org is the website, the Indiana Youth Institute. Tammy Silverman, she's the one that runs the joint up there, so she knows it all. And we certainly,
let's hang on that second half.
But we certainly do
appreciate a great team.
Well, we certainly do appreciate your team's pretty big. How many people you got up there? You've probably got quite a few folks, right?
We've got 32 right now.
And you need more, that's for sure, because with all the, it seems like there's always more for you to do and more topics for you to dig into. So anyway, Tammy Silverman with IYI, Indiana Youth Institute. The website is IYI.org. If you missed any part of our conversation today, you want to go back and hear it again, just look for it on our website. You can grab it there as a podcast. Thanks a lot for listening to Focus on Community this week. We'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.